Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buckets. Mm-hmm. That's the name of my boat. Buckets.
Buckets. Buckets. What we get.
Not the only transfer we got from Florida. Buckets. Keith Stone, too. Remember that.
Everybody who watches his show on a regular basis knows my love of the stretch four.
You know, we all make mistakes. He might have made one going to town.
It's mercy if y'all don't know. It's mercy if y'all don't know.
Dribble to the left, cross over to the right. Hurricane to the game, many buckets for the night. Matt with the pick and roll, Melissa with the give and go. This Shelly, you hoodie girl, dunk it in the hole. Check the scoreboard, this what we fall for. Peep the gameplay, they want an encore. Yeah, over time for another round. It's buckets after buckets, baby. You out of town. It's buckets. What it is, homie? It's buckets. Woo! We get buckets. Yeah, baby. Buckets. Buckets.
I have no shame.
I know. That's the problem.
You guys are awesome.
Anyway, want to talk about some of the existing... We've done this segment before, but things have been more news.
Yeah,
things.
So I mentioned it earlier that I'm kind of thinking Matthew Cleveland's staying because he keeps reposting like all of the Kane stuff. I mean,
do you think he's going to be okay though? Like coming off the bench for Mykal Brown Jones, or because I don't know.
Oh man,
I don't know.
At this time, I think Matthew Cleveland is staying. This could change if we get more people and Matthew Cleveland realizes that maybe he's not going to start. But like right now, it seems to me like he's staying just because of his social media. But I could be wrong. Obviously, it's just a guess.
So there is not a universe where Matthew Cleveland stays and he's not starting next year.
Yeah, exactly.
The caliber of player you'd have to get to supplant him is not going to come here.
I don't think Mykal Brown Jones is coming here.
He's also not the caliber of player that's going to take Matthew Cleveland's starting job. Just being real about it. Matt's weird Mustafa Amzil-esque obsession aside.
Dude, Mykal Brown Jones is way better than Mustafa. Are you kidding me?
Wow, look at him taking shots at Melissa's guy there.
I like a stretch four.
Mustafa looks like he dribbles with a medicine ball. Like, that was a tough watch.
Matthew Cleveland is a far superior player to Mykal Brown Jones, who I don't even think we're actually interested
Vish,
in.
Who is this fan of yours in the chat?
Oh, it's Gabe from the Gabe has been a frequent guest on our F1 show. What you don't realize is this man in the chat is a Mercedes F1 engineer, 6 or 7. We were there for all 7-time world champion in F1 designing cars.
Oh wow! So
he is a badass. He's now back in Miami. So anyway, shout out to you, Gabe. I have not really seen us attacking a Matthew Cleveland replacement. Because I think the plan is to move him back to his actual position, which is small forward, which he did not play last year. And it's damn near impossible to say we're going to upgrade and force him to the bench at that position.
I would like to
seven.
See.
There you go. Like seven. All seven. Seven.
I would like to see him play his actual position because he just did not look comfortable the entire year.
Yeah, no, he's not a power forward. But, no. You know, that was, in fact, we were like, Benzie will come off the bench. Wilco will be the two. Cleveland will be the 3. AJ Casey will be the 4. We're fine.
No.
Did not work out. But if you recall, we were trying last offseason to figure out how to move Matthew Cleveland back to the 3. And we just we couldn't, and neither could Coach Howe.
It's like we subliminally knew it wasn't going to work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a couple of things, and also trying to get the short backcourt out of there, but there were no options, and we ended up having to run with both of those things. All right, so do we all think Cleveland is staying?
As of right now, yeah. NorChat, I hear something about every single day.
Well, let's move on to the next. We'll get to NorChat. Let's go. Yeah. Since Nate brought up Wooga, what are our thoughts on Wooga?
I think he's gone.
I think he's leaving.
I think he's gone too. And I will say again, so the players that entered the portal are still in the portal. And that's because those are not the hot commodities. They got to get in there early. They got to almost recruit themselves on the teams because no one's lining up for them, with the exception being Benzleek is going to land at a real team and start as point guard. Like, other than him, though, like, there's not a liner on the block of people trying to get, like, Nwoko or AJ Casey or Chris Watson. So they got to get in there early.
Well, I think Nwoko can get.
Yeah.
He'll land somewhere. Yeah, but
the potential of his size is
going to get
him shooters.
Well, Watson and Casey are going to end up like at a mid-major.
I'm even talking about where they're going to end up. They have to visit a bunch of schools, get their name out there. They're not an automatic take.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Wooga or Norchad, we're going to talk about in a minute, they'll line up their shit before they enter the portal. They'll have their money in hand. They'll have the contract ready to go. They'll hit the portal, just like what Lynn Kidd did to here. Like, it's when you're on that, that's a different level of player, where when they go into the portal, it's because they already know where they're going. And so, like, yeah, Wooga's still here, because those big money moves take time, and potentially going to schools that are still playing, you know, and you got to work all that out, check the market out, get your agent to work on the finance side of things, and then you enter the portal and pretty much immediately jump over. So I agree. I think Wooga's going to leave and probably cash a nice little check somewhere at a power conference school. I think that thing kind of fell apart here in the end. Matt and I were sitting there in DC saying, like, why is Wooga not in? When he was actually playing hard, he shot like crap in that game, and it wasn't the first time where he had like a ridiculously bad shooting line. But he was playing really hard, and for some reason Nwoko kept getting in, and we were like, why is Nwoko in right now with NorChad, and why isn't Wooga playing? And it just felt like, I mean, if I was Wooga, I'd be asking the same question at this point. So I think that one kind of probably, that relationship probably frayed a little bit. I'd be very surprised if Wooga, I guess we can do a ranking of least likely to most likely after we get through these, but he's definitely one of my least likely to come back. Which brings us to Keyshawn.
Gone.
Well, I mean, should we talk about what happens? Or, I mean, he basically announced that he's going to try for the draft, right? Is that what we, because it was a French
interview. So it was a very correlated, like, Instagram translated interview.
Well, the one thing I'll say is there's no way he's not going to declare for the draft and at least go through the process. So that's definitely happening. It's going to be a long road with Keyshawn. He's going to get evaluations. My expectation is he's going to get a first round eval and go.
Yeah.
Can I just say, can we put Nate's comment up there? How ironic would that be? Couldn't even play against UConn, and then he plays.
Yeah, he got the royal benching in that game.
Yeah. I'll point out for Keyshawn has a lot of potential because of how tall he is, but he's a guard. But the NBA draft class this year is very weak.
Yeah, well, NBA, yeah, people in the NBA, they only care about the potential, right?
Yeah.
So
he's a 6'8 guard. Like, I mean,
yeah, he's a 6'8 guard that can shoot and handle. So they're,
yeah,
he's gonna. No, if he hadn't, I mean, his performance is dropped. Like, he was playing at a higher level at the beginning of the year. Then
they started mocking drafts and putting him in the first
round. Well, I think that might be a correlation without causation. I think as other players started getting injured and we asked more of him, that's when he frankly couldn't necessarily handle it. Once, you know, Wooga was playing on one leg, Nigel was playing on like half of a leg. all of a sudden it's like, hey, let's try to run more stuff through Keyshawn versus like him being secondary offense. And I think he struggled a little bit on that. And I think that's also why his draft stock came down a little bit from where it was like top 10, top 15. Now it's kind of more towards mid to back end of the first round, is because, you know, he didn't really rise to that. But as Matt said, they draft on potential. He'll definitely get drafted. The question is, you know, I think he's going to want to be pretty comfortable that he's going to go in the first round, which I guarantee you can get some GM or something to some of them will say, yeah, if you're there, we'll pick you. And that's going to what's going to push him over.
Yeah. Can we go back to Luga for a second, too?
Yeah.
That just reminded me of a point. I mean, we wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, announces for the draft as well, too, right? Because I've seen him in mocks towards the end of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, if he's just done with school, yeah. If he's done with school.
I think we should just mention that as well. Like, that could very well be an option, and maybe enters the portal, you know, while also announcing for the draft or whatever.
Yeah, he could make a roster. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a possibility.
Speaking of the NBA, Zay Wong got his first NBA points.
Congrats. I mean, that just congrats to him, and that just shows you the level, like how big a step up it is to the NBA from here. It took him. I mean, it's not because he can't score; it's because it took him that long to really get on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A nice little Zay like mid-range jumper.
No, he's got the game. It's just like it's the NBA. The NBA is so freaking competitive.
Yeah.
It's probably the largest leap between, you know, college and pros, is that jump. And that's why you'll see a lot of great college players like not even be able to get on the court or not even make teams, which is, you know, where Wooga might.
Yeah.
I guess the question, but the one thing.
See Oscar Shibuya in the G League putting up 20 and 20 games. And it's like, he's not even, you know, he's played very limited. Someone that's on the same G League team as Zay.
Yeah, no, it's a huge, huge leap in quality. And someone like Wooga, though, one of the things I think people tend to say, well, if you're not going to get drafted high, you might as well come back. Like, a lot of these guys don't have the ability to improve their draft stock. They are what they are. You know, there's not going to, like, someone like Nigel, for example, like, he's coming back because I think he loves the school and he wants to. I don't think he wanted to leave like that, which is why he was playing on one leg and bodying bigger players in the ACC tournament while everyone stood there and watched him. He's not gonna like improve his draft stock. He's what he is. He's short. He can shoot. Like, that's his game, and it's not gonna. And I think what a lot of people tend to do is they say, "Well, why would you go early when you're gonna get drafted in the second? You're gonna get drafted in the second round anyway the next year." There's this presumption that like, oh, if you stay in college, it's somehow gonna make your no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how often do you see like an upperclassman get drafted in the lottery? It happens very sparingly now. Yeah. It's a lot of freshmen or international guys that are, you know, 18 or 19 that have been playing professionally for a while now.
Yeah, and so I think it is really for someone like Wooga, like if he's just kind of done with college, it's not going to get any better next year, especially as Melissa said, the class this year is weaker.
Yeah.
You know, next year it's, you know, if you're, you might, it's
going to be. They're already saying that this is the worst draft class like in the history of the NBA draft, which is insane.
Well, we'll see how that plays out. There have been some awful ones, but
we're all kind of are we all kind of in agreement right now? Right now, we think Cleveland stays, we think Wooga goes, and we think Keyshawn goes.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. But I will say again, Keyshawn's is going to drag.
Yeah,
he's going to go through the draft workouts and all this stuff, and then
and
then decide based on that. But I think in the end, someone will promise to pick him and probably will in the first round. That should
you think if Keyshawn decided to stay, Cleveland would transfer?
I'm not sure Keyshawn starts. Coach O likes him off the bench. He benched him again at the end of he wasn't starting at the end of the year.
True. Who knows? Interesting. All right. Last but not least.
Is that a lot? Well, we only have that many players that can pour out
because we're going to
go back. Yeah, go for it. Wait, we got Joe Bay. We had someone enter the portal today.
Nick Cassano has entered. It's a humongous loss, guys. Nick Cassano has entered the portal. Humongous loss.
Bigger loss than AJ Casey. All right.
But shout out to Cassano's parents, too, because they were really good people. They reached out to us and stuff. So shout out to them.
Okay.
No, I mean, hopefully he gets a scholarship somewhere. Actually,
he's a walk on here, so yeah. maybe he can get a scholarship somewhere. I mean, Miami's expensive, bro.
I mean, I'm sure he's got some money coming in. NorChad, Melissa, you want to go first?
I think he's leaving. It breaks my heart, but I think he's leaving. Matt?
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I'm leaning to I think he's leaving, but I do think there's still a chance he comes back. I'm like...
I hear something different every single day. It's driving me nuts. I posted something in our chat today about
I think he genuinely doesn't know.
Yeah.
And
I think he's going back and forth about it. And I mean, people forget these guys are still... kids, young, you know what I mean? Like,
he's what, 22 probably?
Yeah, he's 22, 20, I don't know. But yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're 22 or 42, though. It's a life decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's in a situation where he's got multiple options. I don't think the draft is one of them. I don't think he's getting drafted. Yeah, and he's obviously got an agent who's looking out and saying, this is what the market looks like. I'm assuming it's more money out there than at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Because frankly, and Nate pointed this out earlier, we made the mistake last year of waiting and then ended up with a very shallow roster. And this year, I think we're just like, you know, if he comes back, great. If not,
we're not waiting.
Oh, well. And I think.
And we've already added two guys that are taller than anybody else on our roster was last year.
Right. And we spent a lot of time, energy, and money last year basically recruiting our own team back, minus the two best players off of it. And we saw the result of that. So I think this year it was, look, we need a lot of talent. Let's go get it. And I'm assuming, look, obviously there'll be a financial package for Miami as well. But I'm assuming other schools, you know, are probably offering more at this point. And it's just a matter of, you know, I think he likes being in Miami. That was his one-liner from the last press conference. But it's great to be
a Miami Hurricane. I do think Nigel coming back will help. Because I know those two are their roommates and they're really good friends.
I think it's wild that they're roommates when they make so much fucking money. You don't need a roommate.
But I think that helps. But like I said, every single day I hear something different. Like one day it's like, oh, I heard Norchad's leaving. The next day, like, oh, I heard he's staying. Like literally the day before Nigel announced he was coming back, someone told me that he was leaving.
Yeah.
So because, I mean, well, nobody knows. You can believe whatever you want, but nobody knows.
Well, yeah, and that's because everyone has to know, so they make shit up. So what ends up happening is. You make shit up. If it turns out not to be true, oh, kids, they changed their mind. If it ends up being true, like, look, I'm an insider now. It's all crap. We'll know when we know. Like you said, there was no warning that Nigel was all of a sudden coming back. Was going to announce it, right?
That's why you only listen to Trilly Donovan.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, that's why you only listen to the official account when it freaking tweets it out, because that means everything is signed. Otherwise,
Trilly's been on point though.
I'm not suggesting there aren't people that have information. What I'm saying is, until that thing comes out of the athletic department, that crap is not locked down. Because that's when they've signed the paperwork, because the school can't talk about them otherwise. And until then, stuff can still happen. And I mean, we literally got announced as the host site for a tournament that we did not agree to participate in. Like, information comes out so fast now, and it spins around, and that, like, until something's official, like, I mean, I brought this up. Our starting quarterback for our football team this year made a whole video announcing he was going to the pro.
Yeah.
He's entering the draft. I'm entering the draft. I'm not. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he's like, I'm coming to Miami. It's just like, that's the world we live in when this stuff would always happen behind the scenes.
That happened right before a Hoops game.
Yeah. We're like, who the hell's going to play quarterback next year? No, but like that is what the difference is. Now we have so much access to information. It's not necessarily even wrong. Like Cam Ward saying, hey, I'm going to the NFL is him saying he's going to the NFL. It's not wrong information, but these things change.
It's fluid.
Yeah. And so, but the difference between now and before is we never had this information come out. So all the same crap would happen behind the scenes. We just wouldn't get exposed to it. You'd only see the result. So just take a deep breath. We'll know when we know. I do think Norchad will probably leave. And I'm basing that kind of on who we recruit. It is possible for us to say, yeah, Brandon Johnson, you're going to, you know, be the sixth man of the year in the ACC and play a lot of minutes behind Lynn Kidd and Norchad. Because especially as Matt mentioned, Lynn Kidd was not a, you know, he's not a big minutes guy. So maybe they can sell him on that opportunity there. Or, you know, say, you know, even if Norchad comes back, you're going to get significant playing time because he's always in foul trouble. Lynn Kidd does not log, you know, it's 35 minutes a game type of thing. It's going to be a lot of minutes in the front court for him to eat. You know, maybe you can – maybe that's the sales pitch. So, but looking at it, it looks like we found our starting center and our starting power forward, and it's kind of – that appears to be what we've done in the portal.
As of right now, we have a starting point guard, a starting two, a starting four, and a starting five confirmed.
Yes, and we have three players that have not said anything that would all potentially would all be very good starting small forwards. So we just need one. We need one of them back.
We'll go Cleveland and Keyshawn.
But all, if you had any of those three guys starting at small forward, you're starting five.
Who of the three would you like to keep if you could only keep one?
Keyshawn.
Matt.
Probably Keyshawn, yeah.
Same.
I would say I'm between Keyshawn and Cleveland.
Agreed.
Because I think Cleveland in the right position. I think he got a lot of crap for playing out of position last year, and I think he does all. I pick Keyshawn because I think he's got the most upside. And I think a year offseason, I think he could be insanely good next year and like hit a ceiling that Cleveland can't reach. I mean, Cleveland, again, we kind of talked about this with Lynn Kidd. He is who he is at this point. I don't really expect him to develop a whole new part to his game.
Honestly, Cleveland takes a lot of shit, but I actually do want him to come back.
Oh, no, I definitely want him to come back.
I would like to see him at his actual position because I think he's a lot better than what we saw last year.
Yeah, no, I want him to be the starting small forward on this team. Like, I think that would be great for us.
I agree.
I agree too. All jokes aside from the MBJ talk, you know, Matthew Cleveland is really good player. So
assume one of those three guys come back and we have our third. And then so you have your starting five. Well, who knows what Norchad's going to do? But what position would you like to see us get in the portal? Like, I still would like
a guard
to
off the bench.
Experienced guard. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we
I need think you back. Get.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry, Vish.
No, go for it. Go for it.
Well, I was going to say a guard off the bench for two reasons. I feel like you want to have that experience, right? Just in terms of like, you know, we can't play these five guys at one time. You know, we need to have that depth. Bensley played big minutes for us, even though, you know, he didn't start a lot of games. I think you need to kind of fill that role, not like exactly what Bensley did, but that kind of player. And then also, too, like, I mean, Jahlil is a phenomenal freshman, but I think, like, having another experienced guard, just in case, you know, kind of thing, is something that would be beneficial as well.
Because right now your bench is a couple of freshmen and Paul Jobe.
Yeah, you need some veterans.
So depth. Your bench is a couple of freshmen. And, again, if we're being serious about, you know, competing for top of the ACC, which is going to be an even deeper conference now with the additions. You're talking about that. I know Stanford had a down year, but they're generally strong and flying across country. We're going to pick up some L's, I'm sure. You've got to upgrade the entire rotation. And look, Chobet is just if we're asking him to log significant minutes, then you know, we haven't really done that. In terms of, yeah, I mean, think about right now, if Nigel gets in the foul
Johnson
trouble,
is Kane's cut,
he's talking about Johnson Arrigo. He said it multiple times. Oh. We'll address this in a second, because we're going to talk about the freshman.
I got confused
in
a minute. For a second.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the freshman in a minute. We're not talking about Brandon Johnson. No, it's Johnson Arrigo. To both of your points, right now, if Nigel got into foul trouble, we don't have anyone to even bring the ball up the court. So we need point guard. We need a point guard. We need a ball handling guard that is willing to come off the bench. I don't know who that is. But
when you see, based on the guys they've been targeting, you see that, right? Like, that's the kind of skill set they've been looking for. And a lot of them, you know, are guys from mid majors and whatnot that, you know, they can sell them on, hey, you're going to play this many minutes. Like, you might be coming off the bench, but it's going to be a consistent role.
And then you're going to lose your backcourt after next year. So you get a guy that's a sophomore or junior next year, and you'd be like, all right, come off the bench this next season, and then you'll probably start the year after.
Yeah, no, there's going to be like, this is as
you can
as
sell
much
it
as
to some younger guys, because you're losing like your entire starting lineup next season.
Yeah, no, after, so just, I mean, not to go too far ahead of us, but after the 25 season, Kidd is gone, Brandon Johnson's gone, Nigel's gone, Jaleel's going pro,
Cleveland,
whoever of Cleveland, Wooga, Keyshawn, they're definitely going to be gone. So, yeah. You're basically, the whole starting five is gone. And if Norchak comes back, the whole starting five is still gone.
Yeah.
So you can certainly, especially as Matt said, mid-majors, target people and say, hey, there's a backup role for you this year. And the roster's wide open after that for you to really, like, you know, be starting in 26 on an ACC.
That's what I'm saying. You take like a sophomore from a mid-major who's got two more years of eligibility left and sell him on play big minutes off the bench and then start as a senior. I think that's the way to go.
We're not lying to the kids by telling them that we don't have any of our starters coming back, which is a true statement. Second, there aren't five boozers, there are two.
Exactly.
So
I like your confidence though, Kane's Cat. I do like your confidence.
I don't like your math skills though.
Are we gonna
your confidence? Well, let's talk about the freshman though, outside Jaleel, who I think we know is gonna start. So what do we see? Part of this depends on, you know, what happens in the portal and who else comes in, but what do we see from what do you see the roles being for Austin Schwartz and there we go here.
I think Austin Schwartz could be a role player for us next season as a freshman off the bench. He doesn't get talked about enough because of Jaleel being, you know, such a highly ranked recruit, but he's also a top 40 player. Matt.
Yeah, no, and he's another guy too that he excels at, you know, making difficult shots, which, you know, fits right into our offense. And whatnot, really good offensive player. He had a really good senior season as well. But I'm definitely looking forward to him. I think he is, going to be in the rotation. I don't know how consistent it'll be. We have to see how the roster kind of.
He's going to get a shot.
I mean, yeah, no, for sure.
So I'll just say this. There's no way he's redshirting. No one redshirts now. No one stays for 4 years, except for Baycott. Still stayed for like seven. But most, like, no one's worried about redshirting anyone unless there's an injury that they can't play.
Are we going to talk about the Cleveland comment or
any more eligibility left?
What the effort? The effort one? We're going to go back to that one. Is that what you?
Well, I just noticed it.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, no, I mean, I just don't really agree with it. I think he was put in a situation. What?
Go and finish.
Oh, I was just going to say I don't agree with it at all. I think he was put in a, you know, unfair situation, and we tried to put him into – turn him into a player that he wasn't. I don't really necessarily agree with that.
Yeah, and I talked about this a little bit earlier when we talked about how, like, Lynn Kidd actually knows how to box out correctly. I think a lot of what happened last year was incompetence looking like lack of effort, whether incompetence because – they're out of position or incompetence because they're low basketball IQ, frankly, for some of these guys. Like, some of the stuff we were doing wasn't
Well, and it wasn't just limited to him, too, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We were – we
Wooga. It was, you know, every single one person.
I mean,
had moments
the
like
turnovers
this.
were insane, right? I mean, and that's – so when it's a turnover, it's obvious to identify, okay, you tried to throw the ball through – through like traffic, through three guys, and it got stolen. It's obviously, you know, a dumb play. But when the off ball player goes to the wrong spot on the floor and isn't in position for a rebound, it can be attributed to effort. And it's like, no, it's the same thing. He wasn't in the right position on the court because he got lost out there. Therefore, he wasn't able to get the rebound. His guy got the rebound. Well, it's because he didn't try to box him out. It's because he's just out of position. And I think, you know, it's much easier to identify those on offense. When you're handling the ball and it's obvious when you make a mental error, much less obvious on defense. Like you don't rotate correctly because you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden they get a layup, and like a lot of that can be attributed to effort. And it's often I felt like last year our team was basically lost for much of the year. No, Keyshawn did not declare.
We're assuming it's coming.
Yep, we're expecting it.
Cue the socks outro.
Don't cry. Keep it chill. Wear good socks.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.